Well, good morning again. So today we carry on walking through the Sermon on the Mount. When I started this, I thought it would be 4 weeks, but I realized, no, it's these three chapters in Matthew are going to have to each be split into a week. So today we're kind of at our halfway point, or at the end of it we will be. And again, these are the words that I imagine Jesus spoke repeatedly as he traveled around talking with people about what was going on. You know, and again, these words, their impact was like nothing else the world had ever experienced. You know, Jesus was telling people how to live, how to react in certain situations. You know, the first week in chapter 5, he introduced the Beatitudes and told us how to live like salt and light, to be different. Last week, we talked about common situations of anger, lust and divorce, oaths, retaliation, and he finished by telling us we needed to be perfect like our Father in heaven was, because we are supposed to love our enemies. We're not just to love our enemies, we're supposed to. And that takes a lot of work, right? Doesn't it, from us? And all of Jesus' teachings were rooted both in law and the gospel, those Beatitudes that he had introduced. So this week, Jesus is telling the crowds how to live generously and interact with God and how to pray. And more importantly, he covers the topic of motivation. This week, I stopped at Quick Trip and I happened to walk past a car and I caught a glimpse of the bumper sticker and I was like, oh, I think I have to read that if this car is still back. So I came back, the car was still there. And the bumper sticker was, I long to live in a world where when a chicken crosses a road, its motivation is not questioned. And it's like, what a dumb bumper sticker. But it does come down to motivation. What is your motivation? We've all been in situations, right, where we try to control it, or those other situations where other people are trying to control how we'll respond. We have a lot of motivations. And Jesus was talking, asking, what motivates you? Are you glorifying yourself, or are you glorifying your Father in heaven? So with this in mind, let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, there are a lot of words that are easy to say, Lord. But you look at our actions and you look at our hearts. Help us to remember this not only today as we walk through your teachings on prayer and how to live, but every day, Lord. Help us. Because while it may be easy to sing, I surrender all to you, to live that way is so hard for each and every one of us. Amen. So again, today, Jesus is going to be talking about how we should be living, right? How we really should be interacting with our Lord and with others about us. And while he specifically does not mention that word motivation, it's there. It's there as he discusses these things. So if you want to follow along, it's on page 810. We'll be walking through verses 1 through 18 of Matthew this morning. And we start with Matthew 6, 1 to 4, giving to the needy. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. All right, I have to stop right there and just reread that again, because beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Jesus is simply just stating a fact to the listeners. Whatever you do for yourself, sure, other people may think wonderfully of you, right? But that is your reward. That is not how our God judges. And it's not how our God blesses. God is looking for people to live righteously and for works to be done to glorify him. So Jesus tells people how they ought to be doing this. Thus, in verses 2 to 4. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So Jesus just confirmed what he had implied in that first verse, right? When the Pharisees went out, they're like, oh, I'm giving away, I'm taking care, right? They made a big production of it. And Jesus was like, it's fine, they've got their reward. Other people will be like, man, Bob is such a nice guy, isn't he? Look at how awesome Bob is. Maybe someday I can be that awesome. And God's like, there you go, that's your reward. That's your reward when you do this. But God is just telling folks, that's not what impresses me. You know, when I read through this, two things strike me. My taxes, you know, because it's like, well, I want to get that deduction, you know, and it's like, I wonder how that goes, you know, but the government's going to get it one way or the other. So when we give it away to somebody else, it's way better than giving it to the government, right? The other thing is my company that shall not be named and all of corporate America. They love to let us know what good they're doing in the community, don't they? You know? I mean, there was a guy who just gave $1,000 to students at a graduation at Dartmouth. $500 for them and $500 so they could learn the joy of giving. You don't learn much joy necessarily if the giving is easy, right? But this is how it drives man to do that. It's not bad to do those things, but they've received their glory. God wants us to be motivated by a loving, a gracious, a merciful heart. Not our desire to have people think well of us. So he tells us to do these things in secret. Nobody needs to know but you and God. That's the kind of giving our God wants. So Jesus in verse 5 and 6 points out a similar thought on prayer. We read, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Again, Jesus tells us, don't make a spectacle out of yourself and expect God to bless that. God is looking for sincerity. And sincerity comes from just interacting with the Father. It's between you and God. No one else needs to know. It's similar to giving in that way, right? It's a very fine line, but it's about what our motivation is. Where our heart is at. I mean, again, last week, you know, we talked about Jesus when he had told the Pharisees, no, it's not clean hands or dirty hands that defiles a man. It is what comes from a man's heart that defiles a man. So he continues in verse 7 and 8. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, man has always struggled to get prayer correct, you know. We see it in all of the major religions, even Christianity. You know, there are people who argue that the Lord's Prayer should not be prayed and not together. Because people learn a prayer like that, and then they just, you know, they don't even think about it. Our Father, who out and by, what are we making for lunch? Hallowed be thy name. Hope the Packers win today. Thy will be done. You know? And it's like, no. They even recommend that. But sometimes those simple phrases help us to keep our focus. So again, it's kind of a fine line. But Jesus is like, when you just keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, it's not what God is looking for. God is looking for you to talk to him. Because we've all met the people at the party, right, who keep saying the same thing over and over and over again. And we're like, please, honey, can you take me home? you know? But it was your idea to come. I know, but I need to go. You know? We don't want to drive our Lord away, right? God wants authentic prayer. And that's what David had just had his sin of killing Uriah and committing adultery with Bathsheba exposed. And he went to God in Psalm 51 and he wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." And then in verse 15, he wrote, "O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise." And David finished this section. He really got it right because he writes exactly what God wants. He writes, "For you do not delight in sacrifice or I'd give it." Right? If there was anything that would delight God that we could do, we'd do it in a second if we had it, right? "You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." God's not looking for performance art. God wants real repentance and honesty about what's going on with us, with our lives. And it's with this thought in mind that Jesus, you know, I mean, the listeners of this probably could think of all these various examples in Psalm 51 or other prayers that had been in the Old Testament. And it's with this thought in mind that God wants honest prayer that Jesus introduced the Lord's Prayer. So in verse 9 we read, "Pray then like this, Our Father who art in heaven." And I'm gonna walk through each one of these statements as we go. You know, so Jesus, like, he is your Father. Realize that. Which means you're his children. He's a loving and gracious Father. He wants a relationship with you. He invites you, in fact, to come to him. In verse 9, the latter half of it, we read, "Hallowed be thy name." Which reminds us that God's name is holy. There's nothing we can do to unhallow God's name, but we need to keep it holy ourselves. And we do so by keeping God's word that he's given to us, right? In truth and purity. You know, anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word does actually profane his name. And we need protection from that, don't we? In verse 10, we read, "Thy kingdom come." And again, God's kingdom is coming whether we do anything or not, right? We can't do anything to stop it. It's going to come without our prayer. But we pray that it come through us also, right? That we be a part of his kingdom actively, helping his kingdom to come to other people. Right? And again, he gives us his spirit, his word, so that we can stay in his kingdom, be salt and light. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's probably actually the hardest phrase or petition of the Lord's Prayer to pray, right? Because are we actually willing to yield our will for our Heavenly Father's? That's what we need to do, right? As we just saying, we need to surrender ourselves to God. But it is so hard, isn't it? And even when we think we're doing well, it's like, oh, all these things that motivate me, are they for myself? Even if I'm not making a big spectacle of it, or are they for God's glory? "Give us this day our daily bread." And again, this is where we're reminded that God blesses people, whether they follow him or not. As Jesus said last week, he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends his rain on the just and the unjust. He blesses us. There are so many people who do not know Jesus who have lived very well in this world. And those blessings come from God. The kicker here is recognizing where those blessings really come from. God gave me a brain and I've been able to use it sometimes adequately and make a good living, you know, be blessed. But all those gifts come from God. But he gives those same gifts to all his other children that he made, whether they recognize them or not. You know, and daily bread includes everything to support us, right? Food, drink, clothing, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout spouse, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers. I think we could use some help there, right? Good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. When you think of everything that our daily bread encompasses, it is everything that makes life on this earth so joyful, right? Good doctors that take care of us in times of need, like we pray every week. Our daily bread. And then in verse 12, Jesus talks about forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We ask God to blot out our sin, don't we? Or it's like, Lord, ignore how horrible I've been and see me as a child of yours. A child who's forgiven. And God is so gracious. But this too has a two-part, you know, two parts to it. We are to forgive just like our Heavenly Father forgives. Again, that can be so hard, right? We get so justified in why that person will never get my forgiveness. They don't deserve it. Let's not talk about deserve, right? And lead us not into temptation. Now, we all know God does not tempt any of us, right? So this is praying that God keeps us and delivers us from all the things that attack us. The devil, the world, our own sinful nature. You know, and to not be misled into despair or false belief. But in Jesus, to be able to overcome all these attacks that we face each and every day. The final petition is, but deliver us from evil. Again, it goes along with that other part, doesn't it? We pray God would rescue us. And how much rescuing do we need, right? So much, so many times. I can see in my life where the Lord worked, where it's like, no, that wasn't just some lucky deal. That was my Heavenly Father watching over me, right? And to take us, walk with us all the way up to the very end of our lives. In that moment when we step from this world and step right on into the next. That our Lord just protect us and keep us as we walk through this world. Now, I don't remember if this is in our pew Bibles or not. Sometimes it shows up in the ESV. But it's the finish to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, this does not show up in every Bible because some of the earliest manuscripts did not have it. Some of the earliest versions that they found of Matthew didn't have this, and then other ones did. And so, like, if you go to a Catholic service, it's the priest who always says these words. They recognize that these words at some point were, you know, did Jesus say them sometimes and other times not finish on his, when he was teaching on prayer? But some Bibles include them, others do not. But again, I'm sure that Jesus spoke them, and it's just recognizing that God's kingdom that we prayed for to come is eternal. Forever and ever, right? When we fall in love, we're like, oh, forever and ever, honey, right? But this is a true forever and ever. That God has the power and the glory, and his kingdom is eternal. So then Jesus, after teaching them the Lord's Prayer, concludes in verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is a very stern warning, right? I mean, he already had included a phrase like that in the Lord's Prayer. But just to make sure they didn't miss it, it was like, hey, dummies, I'm going to repeat this for you. And it is a stern warning. This is what, you know, theologians summarize as the office of the keys, right? Jesus gave Peter and the disciples and the church at large the power to forgive sins. And that's what we're called to do, is we love our enemies and make our way in this world. To not withhold that forgiveness of sins. Because we can withhold forgiveness. God has given that authority to the church and to his followers as well. For people that don't want, you know, that don't want that forgiveness, don't seek that forgiveness. But our Lord really wants us to forgive. When it's up to us, he calls us to forgive, whether others seek it or not. You know, this comes from Matthew 16:19, when Jesus specifically told Peter, the disciples, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God calls us to forgive, because if we refuse to, God is asking, then why should I forgive your sins? If you can withhold forgiveness, why can't I withhold it from you? Forgiveness is the awesome responsibility of each and every follower of Christ. And it's a gift to be able to give people forgiveness, because then we don't have to carry that load with us. We've all met somebody, right, who's harboring a grudge, and it's a weight they carry around. And it's like forgiveness takes that weight and puts it on the ground and walks away. We finish today with these last few verses in 16 to 18 on fasting. And fasting really goes hand in hand with prayer, because fasting was about denying yourself to be able to concentrate more fully on God. And so, you know, we may not do a lot of that in our modern society, but it was a way that you prepared yourself to talk to God. And Jesus said, when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. Again, it goes to motivation, right? Jesus is just given the same lesson on a different subject. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Whenever we do something awesome for God, but do so in a way that draws attention to ourselves, we have received our glory. God is worthy of our glory. God is due all of our glory. And so, he says, when you do it for yourself, I see the motivation of your heart. You've received your reward. You know, when we come to the Lord, sometimes in a situation we don't even know what to say, our God promises that his Spirit will groan inwardly for us. We may not have the words, and we all face different situations in life. And some of them are so horrible. But our Father, when we don't have the words, will pray for us if we just come to him and just like, Lord, I don't even know what to pray. Help me. It really is that simple. It's the motivation of our heart. Are we seeking God's glory, or are we seeking our own? And it's so difficult, right? We can sing, I surrender all to you, but to live it is so hard. But our Heavenly Father promises to walk with us each day as we make this journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, dearest Jesus, Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for forgiving us when we seek our own glory or steal the glory from you. Father, please thank you for that forgiveness. Please forgive us as we continue to do it. And Lord, we just thank you that our cup truly runs over with blessing and with forgiveness and grace and mercy that we receive from you. Help us, Lord, to mirror that in our own lives so that we are loving, gracious, merciful, and forgiving to all those we encounter, so that we can draw closer to you and be the salt and the light that you have called us to be. Amen.